So this week, we're talking about unity, one of our core values. We've talked about honor. We've talked about service. This week, it's unity that we get to talk about. So I have some kids with Pastor Christiana's help that are going to come read our scripture for us. So who are my kids this morning? Come on up here, kids, if you are my kids that are reading. Come on up. Come on. Come forward. All right, Naomi, over here. All right, who has the first part? Who has number one? Naomi, all right, you stand here. Who's got the second part? Nina, who's got the third part? You got third? Okay, who's got four? You don't know? Okay. All right. Yeah, you. Yes, all right, so yeah, right here. There we go. Yes. All right, we're all ready. All right, you ready? Here you go.
Here. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. While I'm locked up in up here, a prisoner for a master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road, God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting around on your hands.
I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert and noticing differences, and quick at mending fences.
You were called to travel on the same road and in the same direction. So. In the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly, Ephesians 4:4.
You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all.
Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness.
Good job, good job. Great job, kids. Thank you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning. God, thank you for this opportunity and chance to just be here to know you and to learn and grow in who you are and what you have for us. Jesus, we love you and we ask that you be glorified and honored. Amen. Amen. That was so cool to have the kids. So that is Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 in the Message version. So that's a different translation. It's not the literal, but it's just someone that goes, okay, this is how I see and understand the Bible. But it gives us a really clear picture of we as the body of Christ. Paul is saying, hey, I don't want you, I want you to get out there and walk, meaning live out your faith. But he's saying, but better yet, why don't you run with your faith? Be excited. Don't just go on a stroll, but be about some business this morning. And then further on, you have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all and works through all and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. Meaning we are to together as a church to be a united group. A united front. How many of you have, whether it's you've seen a movie, heard a story, or you have it in your place where your family is not always the most functional family, or you've seen the dysfunction of other families before? We got a few head nods. We got some that are like, yeah, I want to raise my hand, but you know, I don't want to put it out there. But we've seen dysfunction. And guess what? Are we different people from different spaces and places and mothers and fathers, cultures? Some of us are from the United States. Some of us are from Canada. We have Malaysia. We have Australia. We have all the countries except Antarctica, or all the continents except, thanks. I heard my wife's voice in my head. No continents. We have all the continents represented in our church. So that means we have all kinds of different backgrounds and cultural values and things that have established and set who we are. But together as a church, we get to come together, maybe sometimes setting aside some of our cultural values, to understand who God has called all of us together to be. Amen. In unity. So there is power in unity. Unity is something that when you see and hear, when you see it, you know that there's a united front, right? But when it's missing, you know that it's missing. I love sports. I'm a sports guy. I'm the one hosting the American football night. So if you don't even know what American football is, but want to just hang out with some guys, we're eating pizza tonight, come join us. All right, talk to me. I'll get you the address. You can have my phone number. We're going to have some fun. But my real joy and passion is baseball. Anybody like baseball? All right, yes, some people. Anybody go, what the heck is baseball? All right, a few of you, that's okay. It's the American style of cricket. I'll just kind of put it that way. But just really a lot more complicated and just as long. But no, the cricket can go for like 4 days, 5 days. Okay, sorry. We go about 3 hours is a game. But my team, the team I root for in Seattle, Washington, just yesterday won their second playoff game. They have not been in the playoffs for 21 years. That was the longest drought of the playoffs in any professional sports in the United States. 21 years. And they actually won the first game and the second. So now they're moving on to the next round of the playoffs. I'm excited. But as I was watching it last night or kind of listening as I was finishing, they were losing. And as they got more than halfway through the game, they were losing pretty bad. They were down 8 runs to only 1 run. And they had 3 more chances, and they were, by team unity and just powering through, they were able to come back and score 10 runs and win 10-9. But that's because a team comes together, doesn't give up when they are down, but fights through the adversity and the errors and the mistakes and lift each other up to push through and to make it to their goal. So there is power in unity. We see early on in Genesis chapter 11 that there's a great story of unity that sadly is a bad story, a sad story. Genesis chapter 11, we see the story of the Tower of Babel. So let's rewind just a little bit. In Genesis chapter 9, after God flooded the earth, said, I'm not going to do this to the earth again. Noah, you and your 3 sons and wives, you need to go populate the earth. Spread out. Right? It's like a game of hide and seek, but everybody goes to the same spot. That's what happened. God said, go hide. Not really. He said, just spread out. But they all went to the same place. So they disobeyed. They disobeyed God, basically, is what happened. They didn't follow God's rules. They settled in one area. And then all these people said, hey, let's do something great. Let's build a tower so we can reach to the heavens. And guess what? They really did. They started building this tower out of bricks and tar that just started reaching up to the heavens. And God came down to visit. Why? Because there was a unity amongst the people to accomplish something. So God came down and visited and said, you know, these guys aren't doing what I've asked them to do. Spread out, multiply, increase around the world. And in verse 6, it says this, the Lord said, if as one people speak in the same language they have begun to do this, then nothing they plan to do will be impossible for them. In the midst of what we will just call sin, in the midst of their mistakes, they were united. And God said, we need to change things up. So God dispersed the people. He gave them all different languages and they spread out amongst the world. That's what he intended for them in the first place. So imagine if that mistake hadn't have happened, if Noah and his sons had spread out, we probably would be all speaking the same language. I don't know what it would be, but we'd be all speaking the same language, probably not English, and that's okay. But God, they didn't accomplish what God wanted. So even through even though they were being disobedient and rebellious to God, we see the power of unity. Isn't that amazing that even in their rebellion, there was power in unity? So we're going to talk about a few things today. Blessings of unity. One, first, unity attracts God's favor and anointing. Psalms 133, verse 1 through 2, it's on the screen, says this, how good and pleasant is it when God's people live together in unity. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down the beard, running down Aaron's beard, down the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon was falling on Mount Zion. For those the Lord bestows his blessing, even life forevermore. This is saying that when we are in unity, God's blessing is there. So the symbolic picture, the metaphoric picture of the oil being poured on Aaron. Aaron was the priest. He was the one that was leading the children of Israel in the spiritual realm. So God was saying that even on my leader, it's like pouring my spirit on my leader from his head, the symbolism of being over, that God is over us, and as we are united, he is pouring out his blessing, that it comes down from our head and isn't just a small little drip, but that it is overflowing. Church, when we are united together in purpose and vision and moving direction, God's blessing is going to be poured out over us. Isn't that amazing? That as we work and go forward, I believe where there is unity, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit will be present and operating. Oil, as we see in the Bible, is also a symbol of the Holy Spirit. It's symbolizing that unity is coming from above. He is our source. So think about this. The Holy Spirit came down on the day of Pentecost when the believers, when the early church were together, united in one soul and mind and one purpose. Again, God came down to visit the people when they were building the tower. Why? Because there was unity. It was an attraction. God is attracted to unity. Jesus asked us and said, I want you to be united. In John 17:21, Jesus prayed that his people would experience the unity that he and the Father, his Father, experience. Church, God will open doors and opportunities for a church when we walk in unity. So there's a unity attracts God's favor and anointing. Second, unity leads to greater productivity. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. Anybody know what a draft horse is? There's a picture coming up. Anybody know what that? Draft horse. They're giant, massive horses that do a lot of work. Did you know? So I don't have the metric stuff. I just have the other aspects. A draft horse can pull 8,000 pounds. 16,000 kilos. So imagine pulling 16,000 kilos. That's like 1,600 of meat. That's 4,000? It's a lot. Whatever it is, 4,000 kilos or 16,000, that's a lot, right? So 8,000 pounds, that's a lot of movement, right? One horse, 8,000 pounds. So how many do you think two horses would be able to pull? 16,000 pounds. But guess what? Two horses can pull 24,000 pounds. Because when you work together, just as Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one because they have a good return for their labor. There is greater strength and ability to do things when we work together. More can be accomplished when we work together than working separately. Jesus sent out his disciples in pairs of two when they were to go out and minister. We can achieve more than we can separately. The people working together at the Tower of Babel would have accomplished the task that God had not, if had God not intervened. That's the power of unity. So a unity brings anointing, productivity, sustainability. A house divided cannot stand. It won't last. Mark 3:25, if a house is divided against itself, that house cannot stand. So when we are together, we can last and we can weather any storm that comes. But a church that is divided will implode, explode, and be no more. So we have to stand together. If we are to last and be sustainable, then there must be unity. If you're thinking, well, Jesus said that he would build the church and that the gates of hell won't prevail, that's correct. Jesus did say that he's going to build the church. But guess who he said he's going to use? You and me. His church will have unity, not division. His church will have order, not chaos and confusion. All right. Hey, can I have one kid come up here and help me? Oh, you got to volunteer. All right, come on up. Yeah, sure. Come on. All right. All right, can you all hear me just like this? Yeah? All right, good, because I can't do two things with my hands. All right, so I have a simple cardboard roll. It's a toilet paper roll, because I couldn't find a bigger cardboard tube, you know, around wrapping paper, because here in Sweden, we just don't do that. So if I have this toilet paper, I have a single piece of toilet paper, one ply. Do you think you can shove this pen through there? Yeah? All right, the pen goes through, right? Yeah. Just without itself, yes. But if I switch, if I try it again, you can hang on to the pen. All right, we'll do the same thing. We'll put the toilet paper on here again. Here, you can give him the pen. And I want you to take this salt, and I want you to pour the salt in this tube. All right, I'm going to put this here. So that way it doesn't spill. Go ahead, just pour it in. All of it.
Everything.
All of it. Woo! All right, a little bit. Hey, you did what I said, so good job. All right, so this tube is virtually filled with salt. I poured a little bit out. Do you think the pen will go through this now?
No.
Yes, no, we have both. You want to hold the tube? Here, I'll hold the tube. Now try to push it through. And it's, there we go. It's stopping though. Oh, it did go through. All right. Good job. High five. It was much harder. Good job. Thank you. Yes, he's very strong. Well, I brought that's supposed to be used a wooden dowel, a rod. And my son brought it here and now he's misplaced it. So it should have stopped. Just been flat because the salt together, it expands when the rod or when the pen is pushing through, then the salt pushes against and it essentially stops it. Even though it's a simple piece of toilet paper, the salt working together stops. And so in this, when we are united together, when we work together through the anointing and the blessing of God, we are able to stop things. We are able to weather any storm. That's just a simple illustration. So there, unity brings, you know, the blessings of unity. There's blessings in that, but there's also hindrances. Hindrances of unity. And we'll just go through these fast. Unwillingness to forgive. Unforgiveness can hinder our unity. Very simple. At many times, those that have wronged you, they may not have even realized they have hurt us. And so if we have an issue with a brother or a sister, we should bring it up. This week, I had someone in the church contact me and say, "Hey, Pastor Brandon, you said this thing that you said offended me." And so I asked what it was, and he told me, and it was because I just made what I thought was just a simple joke. And to me, it was a joke because I was joking about something, and I didn't think anything of it. But when he brought it up to me, it helped me realize, okay, the things that I may just go, "Oh, it's not a big deal," can be a big deal to other people. And so I was able to say, "Thank you for letting me know. I never meant to offend you, and I'm sorry. Now I'm aware and can be more aware of just the words that I use." Because I didn't think there was anything wrong. I didn't use any bad words or negative words, but I just made a joke. And so I get to correct and fix myself. So otherwise, if he would have just left that unforgiveness then turns into bitterness and anger. And then when I ask them to do something, maybe he's like, rah, 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 and not want to do it. Or sowing seeds of dissension and disunity. So we can't do that. So if there's if someone's offended you, seek out and say, "Hey, this is what's happened. See, I didn't even know that I offended them until they said something," right? So let's be people. The unwillingness to forgive someone who has wronged you hinders unity. So unforgiveness, bitterness. Unforgiveness leads into bitterness and resentment. When we fail to forgive, we hold our hurts. We become the ones that are damaged and broken. Jealousy. 1 Corinthians 3, 1 through 4, Paul is addressing a church that has all kinds of issues with jealousy. And he is saying, "Hey guys, knock it off. God is giving all of you each in gifts. use your gifts. And it's okay that someone else might shine, because maybe your time to shine is going to be later, right? Yeah, it's okay. Let's be excited for what God is doing in other people in the church, amen? If someone gets a promotion and you've been waiting 6 months for a promotion, be excited they've gotten a promotion, because you never know when God's going to help your promotion to come through. Amen? Amen. All kinds of things that can go on. We all have a purpose. We all have gifts. So jealousy, self-focus, or being absorbed by yourself. My baseball coach used to say there's no I in team. But then what did I do? There's no I. Yes, T-E-A-M. But oh, there's M and E. There's me in team. No, not really, Brandon. It's E-A-M. But there's no I in team. When we are a church together, it's all of us. We all succeed. We all win together. Amen? When you succeed and when you win, we all win. There's no me in unity. Paul tells us that we should not just look out for our own interests, but the interests of others. Let's think about this. If everyone looked out and took care of the needs of others in the church, everyone's needs would be met. If we were thinking about other people, if we were all doing that, all of our needs would be met because everyone would be looking out for one another. But if we all come to church thinking, what can the church do for me today? No one will get help, and the unity of church will never develop. So how do we restore unity? Well, we've talked about this the last several weeks, praying for one another. It's difficult to be mad, angry, and hold grudges with others when you are praying for them. Prayer changes things, but most of all, it changes us. So it's love and pray for one another. Bearing one another's burdens. Amelia, you want to help me? All right, come on up here, Amelia. All right, Amelia, do you think you can stand on one cup? No? Let's try it. All right. How about if you set all these cups up on the ground, not all stacked up, but spread them out. Keep talking. All right. So now we are to be bearing one another's burdens. This should be a place, our church should be a place where we lift each other's up and we help each other through life. This morning, we have 5 different people from church that weren't able to be here because of one sickness, illness, or issue or another. And so this morning, we took time to pray for them, to lift each other up and carry each other's burden. We are to rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. I think this is Nyla's microphone. All right. So, well, I'll have to get the right cups next time. But hey, you guys all got a good laugh. You all enjoyed it. Basically, we're understanding we all need to carry each other's burdens, right? Yes, we need more cups. There we go. We need you to be a part of the church. Whether you choose to be a part of Stockholm Community Church or you choose to be a part of another church body, be a part. Get involved. Help carry the burdens of one another. Number 3, let go of the past. Guess what? The past is the past. That's not to minimize the pain, the hurt that you've experienced, because I've experienced pain from church leaders. I've experienced 2 different church pain. 2 churches that I've been a part of that I've been hurt pretty bad. The second one, I stepped away for 3 years. But God brought restoration. So we all have pain. We all have issues. We've all had something that has happened to us in our past. So letting go is not to say negate what has happened behind us, but it's to allow us to heal and to recover and to then to move forward from what has happened. Because if we're constantly looking in the rearview mirror, if I'm driving down the road just looking in my rearview mirror, I'm going to hit something. I'm going to veer off course. I'm not going to go the direction I want to. It's there. I can see it in my mirror at times when I glance up and look, but it's to remind me of what's behind, what I have gone through. Amen. What I've gone through, what strength that I have, that God has allowed me, who has been there to help me through things, and who I can rely on, and who is there. We can't change what has happened, but we shouldn't relive it. We can learn from it, but we can't let it hold us hostage. We can't let it divide us. We have to let go. Hey, it's Family Sunday, so this is my little man. Say amen. No, okay. All right, how else can we restore unity? Just loving one another. Simple loving one another. Sometimes we don't have the words, do we? But maybe it's a hug, side hug. It's a phone call. It's a text message. It's a Facebook message. It's a WhatsApp message. It's a TikTok message. It's a DM on Instagram. Whatever service that you're using, right? Whatever lingo it is, send a note. Snail mail. You know, we all have, who knows what snail mail is? Yeah. How many of you just get bills in the mail? How many of you would love to have a note from someone saying, hey, you're awesome in the mail? Yeah. It would be nice to like look forward to go to our mailbox one of these days. Be that person. Send a note of encouragement. You don't have to have all the words in the world. You can just say, man, I appreciate what you do. I appreciate who you are. You're awesome. True love for one another will lead to real unity, and it takes the Holy Spirit to produce that love. So in closing, how many of you are familiar with the Great Wall of China? It's a big wall, isn't it? The wall was high enough and wide enough that they were able to ride their chariots across. So if there was an issue, the chariots could get there fast enough. China built it to keep out their neighbors, right? But do you realize after they built it, they were invaded 3 different times? You build a giant wall to keep people out, and yet you're still invaded. They didn't go over the wall. They didn't go under the wall. Guess what? They went through the wall, through the gate. You know why? Because they bribed the gatekeeper. They bribed the gatekeeper. See, church, as we work to build our unity, individually, within our families, within our relationships at home, within this church, we're creating a positive wall. But when we allow some of these things like jealousy, bitterness, unforgiveness, when we allow them to be there and to stay, it's like we're allowing the enemy through that gate in our life. So church, my second takeaway is, what gate are you allowing the enemy to access to your life? Because maybe it's time for a new gatekeeper. There's blessings. We all want blessings. We all want the goodness and the great things. But we also have to realize that maybe we have something else in our life that is preventing us from unity, whether it's unity in this larger body or whether it's a unity at our home. I know that there are times that there are things that I need to work on so that way unity is better within my house, my personal home, Suns Gordon Hutong 17. We all have things we need to work on. So what gate are you allowing the enemy through? Do you need to seal off that gate? Should that gate be no longer in existence? Or do you need a new gatekeeper? Because you're working on that issue, that thing. And this, the other takeaway is, God desires unity in his church and your life. It's what he really wants. So this message isn't just about Stockholm Community Church. We need to be united because I, Pastor Brandon, see all these cracks in the wall. Da, da, da. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. But this is part of who we are. We are to be united in a united church. And unity first starts outside of these walls before we ever get in here. So let's work on it together, amen? Let's be united individuals, united individual families, units, or unit, whether it's there's two of you or four of you or nine of you. You can be a family unit. And then let's be a united church together, moving forward in the vision that God has given us to reach this city for his kingdom. Amen. Because did you know there are 2 million people in Stockholm? Roughly 2 million. Do you know what the statistics say in those that love Jesus? Less than 1%. Less than 1% of Stockholm says they love Jesus. So church, there is 99% of the people that we walk by every day need to know what you and I know. Some of us may want to stand on the street corner and say, hallelujah, Jesus loves you. While some of us just want to put an arm around and say, it's all right, I'm here for you. And as you do that, you then can share the love of God. It's what I tell my young people all the time. Sharing Jesus isn't just grabbing, you know, a Bible or your cell phone and saying, see, the scripture says wages of sin is death. You're going to die. You need Jesus. There is a time and place for that. But the greater majority is for us to establish relationships with people, build connections, and then allow our light to shine so that way the darkness they have in their life escapes for that moment and they can, there's a peace about you. There's a joy about you. There is something different about you. Amen. Let's be united people and hold on to Jesus this morning.